Well done. Well, we can turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I would like to present the gospel to you today. I want to present to you the beautiful message that God has. And for this, we're just going to look at a couple things first here in 2 Thessalonians. Those kids put out a lot of hard work being able to do that. Amen. Memorizing Psalm 23. You know, that will be a benefit for them in their older age.
Amen. Right.
Remembering that and knowing the stories and knowing to live by faith, these are good things. And so we pray that God would bless our children, that He would guide them throughout their life. Before we start here, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for all the blessings that we have, the life that You give us, Lord. We know that just the ability that we have to wake up and breathe is mercy from You, and we're thankful for it, Lord. We ask that You'd bless our children. We ask that You'd help them to grow and know You and know Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would call them to Yourself, open their eyes to understand You and know You. Lord Jesus, that's what we also want here. We're here and we want to seek You, Lord. We pray that You'd give us understanding. If there's anybody here today that's not saved, I pray, Lord, that You'd open their eyes. I pray that they would not have rest until they know that they have to be right with You. Lord Jesus, we thank You again and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and this is talking about Christ's return. And it says something interesting here that I want to mention, but we're going to read some of it just to go ahead and know what it's talking about the time of Christ's return. And we're going to start reading in verse 7. It says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." You know, the time that Jesus comes back is going to be different, very different than when He came the first time. And when Jesus comes back, you know, this is going to be a glorifying thing. This is going to be a glorious thing and a joyful thing for those that are saved. When Jesus comes back, I mean, He says He's going to give us rest and He's going to recompense us. And it's going to be a glorious thing. He says they're going to be, that Jesus Christ is going to be glorified in His saints and admired by them. When Jesus Christ comes back, those that are saved are going to be admiring Jesus Christ in awe of Him and glorifying Him. It's going to be a beautiful time for those that are saved. But don't make any mistake about it. Look at what He says about those that are not saved. Those that rejected Jesus Christ, it's going to be a terrifying time. It's the opposite. Those that are not saved are going to be in horror. It says that He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second time Jesus comes is going to be different. He's not coming the same way that He came the first time. Jesus Christ came the first time as a humble servant. And we see that. He humbled Himself all the way to the death of the cross, the Bible says. But the second time He comes back, He's not coming back as that humble servant that we saw when He came 2,000 years ago. He's coming back as a sovereign King.
Amen.
He's coming back to establish His kingdom upon earth, and He's going to reign. He's going to reign all the nations. He's going to reign with a rod of iron. This is Jesus Christ. When He comes back the second time, it's going to be different than when He came back the first time. He's going to come back a righteous judge.
Amen.
Contrast that with the first time. Look, whenever he came, he was a gentle savior. He talks about seeking the lost sheep, going out. He says, he talks about leaving the 99 and going out and finding the sheep that's lost. I mean, this was a gentle savior looking to save. Sorry. Been having allergies, this week. But he was a gentle savior looking to save. But you know what? The second time he's coming back, when he comes back, he's not going to be that gentle savior. He's going to be a righteous judge. A judge that judges righteously and gives what people deserve. Instead of forgiving sins, he's coming back to judge those that need judgment. That's very different than when he came the first time. He, the first time we see that, was guided as a lamb to the slaughter, and he was silent before his shears. He was silent, the silent sufferer. He's not coming back that same way. The Bible says he's coming back as a conquering warrior. It says that he's going to destroy his enemies with the sword that proceeds out of his mouth. He'll destroy nations. Amen. This is Jesus Christ. The second time he comes back is not going to be like we saw the first time. And you know, the thing is, people, a lot of people are taking advantage of how Jesus is acting right now. Jesus, in his caring mode, in his caring state, he's forgiving, he's long-suffering, he's patient. And by the way, the time of Jesus' return, we don't know when it is. It could be soon, it could be tomorrow, it could be today, later on. We don't know. But you know what? Jesus is coming back. The only reason he has delayed is because he's suffering.
Thank you, Lord.
Us.
Amen.
It's because of his mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
He doesn't want to condemn you in your sin. You realize Jesus is coming back as a conquering warrior, but he doesn't want to destroy the sinner in his way. He wants to save the sinner. That's why he's delaying.
Amen.
But in his delay, people are saying, oh, where is God? Who is God? God doesn't really exist. People are blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. People are using him as curse words. People are going against Jesus Christ, and they're taking advantage of what he is and who he is right now. But he's not going to be that way forever. Jesus Christ, his patience is going to have an end. One day, Jesus Christ is going to have to come back, and he's going to be this person that we see here. He is going to be the one who shall punish with everlasting destruction from his presence. You see, the first time he came and he presented himself as the Lamb of God. Something that not everybody was expecting. In fact, the nation of Israel wasn't expecting this. They weren't expecting the Lamb of God who was going to be silent before those that are hurting him and humbling himself. They weren't expecting that. They were expecting a warrior. And so when John said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, they didn't understand it. Who is this Christ? It's not the Christ they were expecting. But he came. And you know why he came? He came to save. He came to save souls. The Jews, they were expecting a conquering hero. But see, that's for the next time he comes. He first came to save souls. And he's coming back, and he's being presented as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Which is very different. But the question is, where are you going to be when Jesus comes back? What side are you going to be on when Jesus comes back? Because Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back as a conquering king. He's going to be reigning sovereignly. Where are you going to find yourself? Because there's only two groups. There's those that rejected Jesus Christ, and there's those that believed in Jesus Christ and are saved. And I want to tell you that God has proclaimed to you the gospel which is able to save your souls. Amen. And prepare you for the return of Jesus Christ. And I want to take you to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Here I want to show you a beautiful promise that God has given that you can accept, that you can take to heart. You can put faith to this, believe it, trust it, and you can know that you are saved. Jesus has proclaimed the gospel to you. The gospel is the work that Jesus Christ did. The gospel is that Jesus Christ, He died on the cross, even though He was not a sinner. He was not to blame. Jesus was innocent. Jesus was perfect. He was righteous. But He went to the cross. He died the death that we would deserve to die. Yeah. Why did He do that? Well, He did that in order to save us from our sins. And you know what? Jesus Christ rose again on the third day, showing He was victorious over death. His sacrifice was accepted. He is divine, and He has made a promise that anybody that believes on His work will be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Look at what it says, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He makes this promise. And this is the promise that you have to decide, what are you going to do with it? Because He says that those that He's taking vengeance upon are those that obeyed not the gospel. You have a gospel message about Jesus Christ who died for you. Are you going to believe that gospel, obey that gospel, or will you reject that gospel and be disobedient to it? It says, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise right there. There's no hesitation. He says, if you do this, He says, you will be saved. And that's the promise that you have from God in His Word. If you believe in Him, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Like we said, Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's coming back to reign and be the King that we all know He is. He is going to be that. But do you make Him your Lord? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord? Do you really put an importance in His Word? Does He have reign and rule over your life? Have you confessed that Jesus is Lord? Have you confessed to Jesus that He's your Lord? Have you opened your mouth? Because that's what it is, right? Confession is something that you do with your mouth. You confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And He says, and you believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. You know the work that Jesus Christ did. Do you believe it? Do you sincerely believe and trust in the work that Jesus Christ did for you?
Amen.
He continues there. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You see, that's the thing, is what you and I need to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ is we need to be righteous. Yeah. Because when He comes back, He's coming back to judge the unrighteous. And if you're unrighteous, you're going to be judged. How then in the world can you become righteous? Well, it's not by your works. You see, a lot of religions are trying to teach you that you need to really strive. You need to obey this, and you need to do this, and you need to keep this sacrament, and you need to make these sacrifices, and you need to have to do all these things in their religion so that you can maybe prove yourself and be worthy. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible very, very clearly teaches us that we are all unworthy. We are all in sin. There is none good. No, not one. But you know, you can be righteous. It says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It's something that you believe in your heart. You know, you trust in Jesus Christ and the work that He did. And that gives you righteousness. The Bible says that Jesus Christ became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ, you see that? He actually took upon Himself a punishment that He did not deserve so that you could receive something that you do not deserve. Righteousness. Righteousness. And when Jesus Christ comes, you will be splendoring like the stars of the sky. You'll be righteous. Not of yourself. It's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What are you believing? You're not trusting in your works. You're not trusting in your faith and in your hard work and in all the things that you do. You're trusting in what God has given you. His work upon the cross. is what cleanses you from all your sin. That's how you get saved. That's how you have righteousness. It's because of the work that Jesus Christ did. He says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, what you do, what you believe in your heart is going to automatically come out of your mouth. Jesus made that clear, and that's just something that we all know. What you believe in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. So what's coming out of your mouth? Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? It'll show in your mouth. It'll come out of your mouth. Have you confessed the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth? Well, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, when you've believed in your heart, comes salvation. For the scripture saith, look at that in verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believes on Jesus Christ is not going to be ashamed. In other words, God is not going to let you, God is not going to give up on His promise that He made you. He's not going to let that fall short. If He promised something and you trust in His promise, He's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to come through and you will not be ashamed. That's the promise that we have. That's the trust. That's the faith. It's in Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Now look at this in verse 12. He says, for there is no difference. There is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Now the Jews might have thought that salvation was only for them. And that might be what they were expecting. But Jesus Christ threw a curveball in there showing them that that's not what God was planning the whole time. He was planning on saving anyone. Anyone, no matter if they were a Jew or a Greek or a barbarian, Paul says, I do everything I can to preach the gospel to everybody that anybody might be saved, because anybody who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. No matter if you're rich, no matter if you're poor, no matter if you're really bright and smart, or if you're kind of, you know, like the rest of us. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you from your sin. No matter who. No matter if you're old. No matter if you're young. Do you realize that you can be saved as soon as you understand the gospel and you're willing to believe it, no matter what age you are? I know I was 7 years old when I got saved. I got saved. It was a Wednesday night. There was a meeting, and somebody preached about hell. He preached about sin. I can't even remember who it was, but I know what the message was, and I was scared. And I asked my mom and dad about it, and they explained to me the gospel. The next day, I told them, I'm going to go upstairs and clean my room. I went upstairs. I didn't do a lot of cleaning in my room, but my heart got cleansed. I believed on Jesus Christ. I asked Him to save my soul. And I know from that day, I'm saved. I believed on Jesus Christ. And no matter how young I was, I gave my life to Him. And He saved me. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, I'm not righteous in myself. Oh no, not at all. But I know that Jesus Christ, His power can overcome all that I've ever done. And He's going to present me blameless, faultless, righteous before God one day. Because He says in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That means you here today. If you don't know what's going to happen to your soul when you die, if you don't know what's going to happen because you're a sinner, if you understand you're a sinner and you don't know how to get rid of that sin, well, there's something, there's an answer here. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You can call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. See, that's a promise. A promise right out of the Word of God you can point to and you can say, look, God, You said, whosoever. You think you have a sin that's so bad that God cannot forgive? No. Because Jesus Christ and His work that He did upon the cross is enough to forgive you of that sin. Oh, that doesn't seem fair. How can he forgive that guy who's done a whole lot more worse than me? No. No. God is able to forgive anyone Amen. Of their sin. Amen. If they truly repent in their heart, they believe in their heart, and they confess to him, they can be saved. And you shouldn't be worried about whether they are or whether they're not or what, how bad they've done. You need to recognize how bad your sin Amen. Is before God. Amen. Because while you think they have such bad sin, you're not realizing how bad your sin is with God.
Right.
God does truly hate your sin.
Amen.
He hates my sin. And for however small you think your sin is, it is separating you from God. And when he comes back, he's coming back in flaming vengeance. Especially because if you reject the gift that Jesus Christ did, listen, he went to the cross to save you from your sins. If you reject that, how much anger do you think that causes God? John chapter 3 verse 36 tells us that if you believe that you have everlasting life, but the wrath of God is upon them that don't believe. The wrath of God. The wrath of God. But whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. This is a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved. You know, I can stand here today and I can tell you I'm saved. And there's many others that can say they're saved. And a lot of people might think, well, that sounds arrogant. Yeah, I've talked to people, they're religious people, and they're trying. You ask them if they're saved, and they'll say, well, we're trying. We're really working on it. We're trying to get there. And I say, well, I'm saved. And they're surprised. How can you call yourself saved? Who do you think you are? What do you think you've done? But the term saved isn't bragging upon ourselves. When I say I'm saved, I'm not saying and I'm not claiming that I'm something that other people aren't. I'm saying that I've been rescued by Jesus Christ. I've been saved. It's like imagine a person that's drowning in the ocean and they don't know how to swim. They're going to drown. They're headed for destruction. And there's no hope. They can't swim. They're going to sink. Well, all they can do is cry out for help, right? They can cry out for help and ask somebody to save them. And guess what? The lifeguard that sees them afar off, he jumps in and he swims over there. And what does he do? Does he start teaching them how to swim? No, that's not time for swimming lessons. And that's what religion does. Religion gets to you and you're in your sin and they say, hey, let me teach you how to be good. No, you're drowning. You're in condemnation. You don't need to be taught how to swim. You need to be saved. And that's where Jesus comes in. Jesus is the lifeguard that jumps in, grabs you, and out of no effort of yours, in fact, you have to do nothing. He tells you, hey, stop struggling. Leave it to me. And he pulls you out and sets you on dry ground. He sets you on firm ground. Foundation, and you can stand up and you can look around and you can say, I'm saved. I'm saved. And everybody understands. Everybody knows. Oh, he didn't save himself. He didn't know how to swim. He was going to drown. Everybody knows. It's that lifeguard that saved him. Well, that's the truth about the gospel. It's not about your works. It's not about what you do. It's not about how many times you go to church and how many times you read the Bible and how many times you've been on your knees walking down to bow down to some image. It's not about any of that. It's not about the work that you do. It's about the work that Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
He is the one that did what was required to save you from your sin.
Thank you, Lord.
And now he has a gospel message that's being proclaimed. He wants it proclaimed to every creature. He said, preach the word, right? Preach to every creature. That's what he wants. He wants everybody to hear this message, the gospel message that you can be saved from your sins. And now you have to make a decision about that. That's the thing about God's word. That's the thing about the gospel message, is that if you hear it, and once you hear it, now you're held accountable for having heard it. You have to make a decision. You either are going to accept it or you're going to reject it. And it doesn't matter how you reject it. If you reject it, you are a rejecter of Jesus Christ. And you're the one he's talking about when he comes back in flaming vengeance of fire. You can say, well, I don't think that sounds too easy. Sounds too simple. That can't be the way that God has chosen. I must stick to this religion. I must do this. I must work. I must. You think something is expected of you. You're rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ at that moment. You think, well, no, I think that's too exclusive. How can it be? Only Jesus Christ? What about them over there? They don't have the message of Jesus Christ. They're trusting in Buddha, or they're trusting in Allah. They're trusting in something else. And you say, it can't be just through Jesus Christ. There has to be other methods. There has to be other ways. You're wrong. Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. He says, nobody, none comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus is exclusive. And if you want to reject that truth, you are rejecting Jesus Christ. But today, he presents to you the opportunity to call upon him and be saved. And you can take this word right here. You can take what he says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can take that promise and you can say, God, I want you to save me. Jesus Christ, you are Lord and you are Savior. You died upon the cross and you rose again the third day. I'm asking you, I'm crying out for help. Rescue me. Save me from my sin. And you can be a 7-year-old kid that understands that and asks that, and you can be saved. You could be a 96-year-old woman, and if you ask that, you could be saved. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what you've done and how much sin you've caused in your life. Jesus Christ can save you, but it does matter whether you believe it or not. Amen. He makes this promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
It's about what Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
And I want to end today with a hymn we're going to be singing in the Red Book. Number 210, just so that we can think about and consider what Christ has done. It's the work of Jesus Christ. It's him being crucified and rising again on the third day. This is what saves your soul. If you have questions at the end, please feel free to ask any of us. Let's stand, and we're going to sing number 210 in the Red Book.